Welcome back to The Ancient World, a podcast with Greek myth and philosophy, symbolic readings of the biblical stories, and the renewal and rebirth of the Florentine Renaissance. And today we're going to play a little clip from a really good and interesting YouTube video, a conversation between Tom Holland. He's a British historian. He's written lots of fantastic books from The Rubicon and Persian Fire. And the latest one is Dominion, where he talks about the history of the last 2,000 years. And he's describing how much of the world is, he's a secular person, but he describes how the deeper values of the biblical stories have created the foundation for so much of the culture. And then, and this is something that he has arrived on after over 20 years as an historian. And he's talking then with a pastor in California, whose name is Paul Vonderclay. And I'm going to play a little clip now, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards. This is about 4 minutes where Holland talks about his own personal journey through his research and how this has changed his view on things, and especially the separation of the way that we understand words like religion today, which is problematic in many ways, and which is also the same thing that we have been discovering here when we look into more of the early church founders and also the kind of the more spiritual philosophy of the earlier Greeks, the first few centuries AD, that there's much more of an overlap and there's much more of a variety in how to think about this, and also from a rational, secular, intellectual perspective or approach. It's also full of substance and wisdom, and there's an immense wealth there that you can enjoy and embrace or learn from, also purely from a secular standpoint. So now we're going to listen to Tom Holland.
I mean, I'm talking personally here. I'm not, you know, giving a kind of cool, measured analysis of Christian history, which is what I try to do in Dominion. It's speaking personally. What I found in researching the book, the more I read it, the more kind of animating I found it, was a sense of how kind of radiantly potent Christian theology was. And it's not surprising that I should have done, because of course, this is the most successful way for explaining humanity's relationship to the universe that has ever been devised. And it's been framed by some of the greatest philosophers and artists and poets. And what I felt was that things that I had been taught as a child at church, the things you had to do, I'd just been told why you had to do them as rules. And I kind of respect them. I'm sufficiently the child of my childhood that I tend to live by them, but I didn't have a real sense of why what the kind of impulses were for these ways of seeing it, and therefore I didn't really have a sense of how strange they were and how distinctive and how contingent. And the more I kind of washed myself in the radiance of this astonishing tradition, this astonishing way of seeing the world, the more these kind of the more these assumptions came to life for me. And I think that's both a challenge and an opportunity for people who want to teach that this is all true, who want to say this is all absolutely true, because in a way we're simultaneously too familiar with the Christian story, and so we've become anesthetized to the sense of the weirdness of it, but at the same time we've bled it of a sense of the strangeness. So it's simultaneously, you know, we've we've lost the sense it's familiar to us, but at the same time, we've lost the sense of we don't really understand it. It's simultaneously familiar and strange. And this is why I found writing the book such a kind of transfigurative personal experience, was that I found, now I understand stuff. And the more I look at it, and it's not like it's all kind of a positive. There are kind of incredible, you know, it's kind of quite frightening as well, a lot of it. But I think that's also part of my understanding, is that actually the kind of Jesus meek and mild stuff, the idea that God is nice, the idea that, you know, Jesus was nice, is really kind of inadequate to the complexity of it all and the ferocity of it all and the challenge of it all, and therefore the poetry and the majesty and the mystery of it all. And it kind of, you know, I'm still very much in the process of synthesizing all this. But the sense of the power of it, you know, this, I kind of warm my hands at it.
So this is just 4 minutes. The whole talk is almost 2 hours. But what was standing out with this particular clip was just the recognition of my own experience last summer, having a big second look on many of these old stories for the first time in over 20 years, and then discovering things that were completely new and very different from what was in the memory from both childhood or like the teenagers, and then having to get a different approach or a different understanding of what this really is about, still from a secular point of view. And Holland talks also about, like, when he says that if you understand one part, if you untangle a little bit some misunderstandings, then suddenly it makes more sense. It also helped a lot to go through the Paradise with Dante, as he also largely is standing, he's building in some ways a secular framework to try to understand the symbolism, but also to understand the wisdom and the beauty. And it never goes into this that you have to just believe something. It's all within a framework. And it's helpful and it's also practical. So it's interesting with Holland, because he has reached a point where he's doing this change of perspective. There's also this thing with learning, and that we had one talk last summer also with a professor in Philadelphia, and he talked about, talked about first how Aristotle is a separate language. So if you want to understand Aristotle, it might take you a couple of years, because every word has a specific meaning in the thinking of Aristotle and his use of language. And this is also true for the biblical stories. So this notion that you can pick up the book and start reading and having an understanding that can grasp or understand a lot of what's in there is not necessarily very realistic. It's very complicated, it's cryptic, and it's also much more into like a spiritual philosophy, where the terms have to be understood in a new way. And that's why it's interesting to see what's happening with Tom Holland at this point, his writing journey or authorship at large. So the whole talk is really interesting. We'd also say that it's clarifying. So he brings in other topics as well, like the Persian and Cyrus and Darius, and like Cyrus as the founder of the Persian Empire, and how this is influencing both biblical stories and the Greek tradition, the Greek philosophy, or like the stories, which is another like way of synthesizing, as he talks about towards the end here of this clip. So just wanted to have this as a short plug for the video. I hope as many of you as possible gives it a look. And we're going to wrap it up here for this little YouTube clip tip. And also we want to say another warm welcome to our new Patreon supporters. So we're now doing more there. We set it up, and we also set up the Discord group forum for those who become subscribers to the Patreon. And We're going to do more of that as well. And now the community is starting to grow. So this is very, very encouraging. And that would also give us much more new ideas and new things to talk about and to look into further. So maybe just add as a final thought here that how it would be interesting if Tom Holland now also goes further into many of the church founders, the first few centuries, and finds a way to reestablish things. He does mention in the interview that there is something about the branches of Christianity in Europe that when people who grow up with a Protestant background, that when they do have a second look, they tend to drift more towards the long traditions of Catholicism or Orthodoxy. And at least in the perspective of finding things to read and to finding deep thinkers and inspiring thinkers and having more of the sense of the joy and the energy and the brightness and the beauty that you can experience now, that there seems to be an abundance of that in the Orthodox and also in much of the Catholic, that is a bit of a surprise when you see it for the first time. So we're going to let that be the last thought for this episode. And as always, thank you so much for listening and see you again soon here at the Ancient World Podcast.